9:37. For purpose of discussion, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The bill is before us. Senator Newton, are you up first?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could, I'd first like to yield the mic to Representative Schaefer and let her make some opening comments, and we'll go from there.
Very well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Always a pleasure to be with our colleagues in the Senate. House Bill 937, we're very pleased with what we have here, and obviously you have the PCS before you. Really, this represents an opportunity for two different groups that are normally on the different ends of the spectrum on this issue to come together. What we have is an opportunity for expanding concealed carry rights and the traditional Second Amendment rights, as well as increasing some of our penalties on gun crimes, things like that. We have had both of these groups at the table. We've had the Sheriff's Association at the table in support of this bill, as well as our Second Amendment advocates also in support of the bill. Now that Senator Newton is going to take you through the PCS, I know there are a number of changes from the House bill, but it really boils down to two main sections in the bill. We have our, we kind of have our law enforcement sections, provisions, things like that, as well as our concealed carry provisions, as well as a few other Second Amendment issues. So with that, I'll turn it over to Senator Newton.
Thank you, Representative Schaefer. Mr. Chairman, thank you all for being here today. I'd like to echo what Representative Schaefer said. But in the PCS, we're trying to do one little additional thing, which is very important. In addition to enhancing law-abiding citizens' Second Amendment rights and expanding their opportunities for their basic human right of self-protection, protection of their families, and in addition to strengthening the penalties against those who illegally use firearms in commission of crimes, we also want to close some loopholes. We want to strengthen our background check system. And the Senate PCS incorporates some things to do that. So I hope you'll find it pleasing. We were trying to find the right mix to strengthen the laws of North Carolina in this area. And Mr. Chairman, if I could, for expediency's sake, if I could ask Susan perhaps to highlight the important changes in the PCS for the committee, and then I'll be happy to answer questions to the extent that it relates to the PCS. I'm sure Representative Schaefer would be happy to answer questions as well.
Ms. Seitz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the most part, sections 1 through 11 are what came over from the House with one change in section 2. Section 2 in the House version, the portion that is on page 3, beginning on line 44, which in this PCS authorizes any person with a concealed carry to have a handgun concealed in their locked vehicle on educational property. In the PCS, that is all educational property. In the House version, that was only colleges and universities. So that is the only change in sections 1 through 11 from what the House sent over, other than a few little technical additional tweaks I found as far as grammar and he's to she's and persons and stuff. So the new provisions that are in the Senate version begin with section 12. Sections 12 and 13 are provisions that were in House Bill 17, which passed the House and has been referred to this committee, but this committee has not yet taken up. They deal with keeping the records of concealed carry permits and the records that federal licensed firearms dealers are required to keep of guns they sell confidential so that those are not public record. Section 14 is really just a clarifying to make clear that a law enforcement officer who is authorized to carry under the federal law without obtaining a concealed carry permit is treated the same as those who have concealed carry permits as far as carrying on certain state property. Section 15 would authorize persons with concealed carry permits to carry concealed at parades and funeral processions. so long as the property that they own has not, if the property owner of where they're actually present has posted it, then they can, a private property owner can still do that. Section 16 increases the penalty for carrying concealed either with alcohol in your system or while consuming alcohol, or carrying concealed on posted property. Right now that is a class 2 misdemeanor. It would raise those two to a class 1 misdemeanor. Section 17, 18, and 19 repeal the pistol permit statutes in North Carolina. So there would no longer be a pistol permit process, and make conforming changes. Section 20, under current law, the sheriff is allowed to revoke a concealed carry permit if someone receives a criminal conviction for an offense that would have prevented them from getting the concealed carry permit to begin with. This would make it mandatory. So right now it's permissive, and this would require the sheriff to do so. Section 21 and 22 add, basically all the judges in North Carolina, magistrates, clerk of courts, register of deeds, if they have a concealed carry permit, they can carry concealed at the courthouse and in certain places. And also in 22 exempts them from basically the concealed carry restrictions the way that district attorneys are currently exempted. Section 23 allows hunting with a suppressor. And then sections 24 and 25, it came to our attention that when we enacted the definition of qualified retired law enforcement officer in 2007, which is the definition that is used to determine if someone's qualified to carry under federal law without obtaining a permit, that in 2010, the federal government changed that definition, and we had not yet changed that definition. So this would basically just refer back to the federal law for that definition, which is the only purpose we use that term for anyway, so that in the future, if that definition changes some, we don't have to keep going back and changing it. And I believe that I'm happy to answer questions or go into more detail than I want to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Susan. As you can tell, we took a very, very good bill. That I've enjoyed working with my House counterparts in discussions about various aspects. This bill does incorporate a number of the different bills that have been out there in both the House and the Senate. And we've tried to put some more thought into it and hopefully add a few more things to it that makes sense. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd say I'd be happy to answer questions from the committee and otherwise.
Excellent. We'll take some questions from the committee, then we'll go to the folks that are attending us today. Senator Stein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could Susan go through 1 and 11? I mean, I'm not serving in the House. I don't know what was in the original House, but I realize the PCS will be changed to the House.
I can briefly, and I'll just do that from here if everybody can hear me. Section 1 makes it clear what I believe is already the law, that if you have a concealed carry permit, you can have a handgun in your locked vehicle on state government property in general. The Section 2 amends the educational property statute. It does what I've already mentioned. It allows anybody with a concealed carry permit to have a handgun in their locked vehicle on any educational property. It also allows and colleges and universities and private boarding schools, or actually private and public, I guess, and in boarding schools, it allows an employee of those institutions who resides on campus in a single family dwelling where they reside only with their immediate family members. So we're not talking about dorms or anything, but the chancellor's house or that side of dwelling, to have a handgun in their residence, even though it's located on educational property. And it provides for them being able to get that into and out of their residence, depending on whether they have a concealed carry permit or not. But they don't have to have a concealed carry permit to have the handgun in their residence. Section 3 allows persons with a concealed carry permit to carry concealed where an admission fee is charged or in establishments that serve alcohol, unless the person in control of the property has posted that they don't allow that. Section 4 amends the statute relating to permitting young children to use dangerous firearms, and it basically makes it so that a parent can, right now only a parent can let a child use a firearm. This would allow a parent to authorize another adult to supervise a child under 12 in using a firearm, and would make it more clear who can be charged for what in doing all that. Section 5 increases the firearm enhancement that we currently have. Currently, it only applies to APB felonies, where you get an enhanced punishment if you use a firearm and firearm is not an element of the offense. It would increase the current enhancement for A through E to 72 months and would add an enhancement for FBI felonies, which we currently do not have. Section 6 amends the statute that relates to what local governments can regulate as far as whether it's concealed carry is allowed, to further define the term recreational facilities and be more specific as to what that includes. Sections 7 and 8 and 9 through 11, they all deal with the mental health and the mental health reporting to the NICS system. Section 7 and 8 more specifically define what should get reported up to NICS. And then 9 through 11 really just makes some conforming changes and modifies the statutes a little bit about getting your rights back after one of those mental health findings. And then, okay, that's where we came in.
Follow up, Senator Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Section 6, am I understanding it correctly, we're now allowing guns on the playground? Is that the substance of the change there in Section 6?
Senator Newton.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Stein, really Section 6 is a clarification of what we passed in House Bill 650. There are a number of municipalities that wanted to misconstrue what we had already done in 650. And this really is just clarifying that so that there's no confusion, that they don't get to call a greenway or a walking path a recreational facility. And by definition, and under 650, which we already passed and is already the law, a playground where you might have a single mother who's facing the situation of a child snatching can carry concealed if she's a permit holder.
Answer, yes.
Absolutely. As it was already the law, is the answer to your question.
Follow up? Anyone else? Okay, we'll go ahead and take some questions from the public. And this will be 2 minutes apiece. Steve Wilson, a sergeant at arms, will be running the clock. We'll get the speakers to come forward, announce themselves, and then please talk for 2 minutes. The first is Drew Moretz. Drew Moretz, would you please introduce yourself, sir, tell us who you represent, and then you're free to make your comments, if you represent anybody.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Drew Moretz. I'm the Vice President of State Government Relations for the University of North Carolina Administration. I'm here just to say that we are not opposing the bill, but we do have concerns about bringing guns onto the campus. And you know, there's a number of issues why that we are concerned about that. One of the major crimes that we see on campus is a varsity. So whenever you get the park around, the first thing you'll be able to find is that gun. And then we don't have a gun in the good person's hand, we have a gun in the thief's hand. And that's a concern for those of us who are sworn to protect campuses. Also, we also have a number of middle schools and high schools on a number of our campuses, and so we want to make sure that we're doing our jobs to protect, as well as daycare centers, we're doing our jobs to protect those who come onto our campus as best we can. And as you'll hear shortly, we have trained police officers who are designed to protect the public, and what you can see is that our crime rates are lower than general public at large, and so this brings an additional element onto our campus, which may be a concern for safety of the residents and the visitors.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your comments. On the force side, we have Michael Mann from the North Carolina Rifle and Pistol Association. Would you come forward and introduce yourself, sir, and make your statement?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Mann. I represent the North Carolina Rifle and Pistol Association. I just want to say we appreciate the hard work that Senator Buck Union and the other members of this body have done to put together what we think is a comprehensive and very good deal. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Gail Neely from North Carolina, North Carolinians Against Gun Violence. Gail,
represent, well, I started out representing 73% of North Carolinians, but I dare say with the changes you've made, I represent 90% of North Carolinians that want stronger gun measures. They're opposed to this bill. They don't want guns in bars and restaurants. They don't want guns on college campuses. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You have nothing to support this bill. There is no credible evidence that this bill will make us safe in North Carolina. We have tons of evidence to show that it may not, in fact, make any of us safer and may end some lives. 12 states now have gun deaths that surpass automobile deaths because their gun laws have become weakened and the laws concerning driving an automobile have been strengthened. Is that what we want? I dare say we don't. There have been numerous incidents of deaths and accidental shootings in restaurants, on college campuses. We don't want that. We don't want that. Less than 3% of the people in North Carolina have carried concealed weapons permit, and not all of them support this bill. So who are you going to listen to? Less than 3% of the 90% that want stronger gun measures. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next we have Brian, is it Brian Reese? He lists himself as a civilian. You're here representing yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm a member of Grassroots North Carolina, but okay. My comments are mine and mine alone.
Sure.
We all remember with Chicago, they had the gun ban. Guns weren't allowed. The Supreme Court overruled it and said that people have the right to defend themselves, protect themselves. Then the city of Chicago said, well, you know what? We're going to require that to have a handgun, you're going to have to qualify at a gun range to comply with fire exercise. But then they banned gun ranges within the city of Chicago. But then the federal appellate court came back and said, you can't make this a requirement and then ban this at your facility and say, if you want to exercise your right, go somewhere else, because you can't exercise your right, you know, in the city of Chicago. And if you want to take away somebody's right, you need to have empirical evidence, not supposition, not logic, not things, but hard, cold facts. And what we're not seeing here are these hard, cold facts being represented by those in opposition to this bill. So I'd like to remind the committee that before you start taking people's rights away, look for the hard, cold facts of what the truth is and please keep away from emotions.
Thank you, sir. Next we have Hope Williams from the North Carolina Independent Colleges and Universities. Ms. Williams, if you come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you this morning. My remarks will be confined to the portion of the bill that refers to educational property. And first, I want to thank you for the option for opting out for private colleges and universities. That's very important to our institutions and to our presidents. I do want to say on their behalf that they did vote unanimously, our board, to ask that we continue to support the statute that is on the books and is a longstanding in North Carolina, prohibiting weapons on all educational property except by certified law enforcement and through other special circumstances. But we do believe that this is a very serious issue for all of our educational properties in North Carolina, including private colleges and universities. And we support the longstanding statute, but we appreciate the portion of the bill that does allow the opt-out provision.
Thank you. Next we have Greg Stahl from the North Carolina Sheriffs Association.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, Greg Stahl, North Carolina Sheriffs Association. The sheriffs, on balance, looked at this bill and had some concerns about some sections versus other sections, but as a whole, thought the House bill was a strong bill and supported it. Particularly the mental health background checks and strengthening that, the mental health information that will be put in the mix now that is not being put in and more aligns us with the federal statute. And the House did adopt that. I think that's a very important part for doing the concealed handgun background checks. Sheriffs are also very concerned about what is House Bill 17, that's the confidentiality of those concealed permits, and that has been incorporated into this bill, and we think that is appropriate also. The one concern or pause we had today was when we saw the pistol permits section being pistol purchase permit section being repealed. But in discussion with the senator, this does look to be attempting to align this more with the way permits are given in long guns and high-powered rifles. And also then would allow the gun dealer to not issue, because we have the issue in North Carolina that pistol permits are issued for 5 years, and there's no method to appeal that permit if a crime is committed afterwards that would disqualify the holder from having that permit. This does close what we think are two loopholes, but we just saw this today, so it gave us a bit of a pause. But again, taken as a whole, the sheriff supported it.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. And next we have Jamie Herring, a police chief, and I'm not sure if he's speaking with the sheriffs or... Okay, well, come forward then, sir. Identify yourself and who you're here speaking for.
My name is Jamie Herring, and I'm the police chief at University of North Carolina at Greensboro. I'm a 27-year veteran, and I've dedicated my career to safety of students. I represent the chiefs of the 17 campuses of the UNC system, and our concern is in allowing weapons on educational property. From the perspective of a campus law enforcement officer, the strongest argument against this law is the impact it would have on people's attitudes towards weapons. In our current environment, members of the community call the police anytime they see a person with a weapon on campus. As responding officers, we know there's a strong possibility that this person is breaking the law, and our response should be clear and decisive. Allowing weapons on campus would diminish that sense of seriousness from the presence of weapons, thereby making us more vulnerable to those who intend to commit harmful acts. UNCG campuses, including the public schools on our campuses, are among the safest places in our society. Allowing possession of firearms can only make them less safe. As it relates to this legislation, we're asking you to consider removing the portion of the bill that allows guns on campus, or at least amending the bill so that it gives state campuses the same authority as private campuses to decide for ourselves whether or not we want to allow weapons on campus.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Paul Vannoy from Grassroots North Carolina.
Vallone, sir. Thank you.
Vallone. Forgive me, Paul Vallone.
First off, we'd like to say that Grassroots North Carolina strongly supports this bill, particularly the restaurant carry and campus carry provisions, and we would like to thank both leadership, Senator Newton, and the other sponsors of the bill for their hard work in making this happen. Although some in the UNC system, particularly President Tom Ross, have said that this provision on campus carry would harm their ability to protect students, the fact is it's become very clear over the last few weeks that UNC is doing a poor job protecting students. And in fact, the rate of sexual assault on one campus is 50.1% above the national average. Matter of fact, in the House, just hours after the House committee at which UNC officials testified against the bill, a student was raped outside the Free Expression Tunnel, another was stabbed near Reynolds Coliseum two days later. In fact, we had a stabbing just four blocks from UNC just the other day. The fact is, concealed handgun permit holders, these are 21-year-olds who've had training and background checks, are not only prohibited from protecting themselves on campus, but also if they live off campus in their transit to and from that place. And many of the neighborhoods surrounding the UNC system can be dangerous neighborhoods. We support the restaurant carry provision, particularly because we now have 44 restaurants with some measure of restaurant carry. It's recently passed in Virginia, Tennessee, Ohio, and elsewhere. And in fact, in the first year after inception in Virginia, violent crime in restaurants dropped by 5.2%. With respect to the purchase permit system, we have an archaic Jim Crow era law, which is being arbitrarily applied by some sheriffs to require things like limiting to 5 purchase permits per year, requiring notarized character affidavits. And in fact, in Orange County, I would need 3 notarized character affidavits to buy to get a pistol purchase permit. So we strongly urge you to support the bill without any amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vallone. Any further discussion from committee members? Senator Stein?
Thank you. So private colleges can, as a matter of policy, opt out of this, but public colleges cannot. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Is there a rationale for why it shouldn't be up to each institution to choose for itself how it wants to take care of its people?
Yes, absolutely. It's consistent with private property rights, the ability of the basically private property owner to make a decision about whether or not they're going to allow firearms on their property, just like we're doing for restaurants and any other private property. And we felt like that was consistent as it related to the private institutions, let them make the choice.
Yes.
The site's reference to change in section 2 from the House version. Is it subsection K on page 3? Am I right in reading this that people can take guns onto our public schools and lock them in?
The site's in the current PCS. Yes, that allows on any educational property, so it's not limited.
Mr. Chairman, let me slightly add to that. Is concealed carry permit holders. That's correct. That's the way we draft it, because that's the way we intended it. So not anybody, but a concealed carry permit holder is somebody who has made an extra effort to prove that they are a law-abiding citizen, has made an extra effort to exercise their Second Amendment rights, made an extra effort to get the background check and the training, paid the fees, done the extra work to show everybody that they're law-abiding citizens. And all this does is allow them to lock it in their car when they go to pick up their kid who got sick.
Okay, so, Mr. Chair, follow-up.
Follow-up questions, sir, start.
Just want to make sure I understand. So we are now allowing guns, not only in bars and restaurants, universities, whether they want it or not, or in chief that they don't, parades, are now allowing the playgrounds, but we are now permitting guns to be brought onto our elementary school property under this bill?
We already allow guns to be brought on elementary school property by law enforcement. I mean, it's a great talking point, Senator Stein. What we're here about today is to enhance our Second Amendment rights, which have been too long neglected by the previous majority. It's been too long restricted by the previous majority. And these are, by definition, law-abiding citizens. That's who we're enabling to carry their pistols under their permits in a greater area than where we did before.
Senator Blue,
this includes the hotly contested athletic events as well.
If you note that under the restrictions that and the definitions that we did in the section that deals with parks, and I forget what section that is, athletic events are not, we allow the cities to exclude in those kinds of events. And the same thing would occur as far as the private owner of property being able to do the same thing for ticketing events. So it would be a choice, to answer correctly, it would be a choice in that circumstance of the owner of the venue, those who control the venue and therefore the event, as to whether they would allow it or not.
Just to clarify, Senator, so I understand, that is to have a weapon locked in a car?
No. Clearly we would allow it to be locked in a car, but as far as the concealed carry permit holder would be able to carry into a ticketed event, if the property owner allowed that, but not on educational property, and not if cities would have to allow it, say for youth athletic events.
Senator Blue,
do you ever been in a fight at an athletic event?
Oh, I've been in the midst of several things. I've been in the midst of a number of things. I certainly didn't start it, and I certainly didn't try to participate in it, but I've certainly been there.
One last thought. Many athletic facilities are not in a municipality. The racetracks or whatever. You're saying that the owner, if they desire to ban concealed weapons, is there any corresponding liability if something breaks out and that owner does not ban concealed?
I couldn't really answer the question because that's not a subject of this bill. What I would tell you is that underlying the premise of your questions and your statement is to suggest the concealed carry permit holder to be the first one to pull out a gun and start shooting, and that's not the experience for concealed carry permit holders in this state or in any other state. As we've pointed out repeatedly, They are, by definition, law-abiding citizens. They've been through extra background checks, and they've been through extra training. And I was having a conversation with a liaison member from one of the public universities who's going through the process right now. And she quickly pointed out to me that one of the first things that they're trained is that they don't go to the problem. They try to avoid the problem. And so the premise of your question is that allowing this would present an additional problem. And what I'm suggesting to you is, and what this bill suggests, and the supporters of the bill suggest, is concealed carry permit people are not the problem. The problem are the criminals.
Anyone else? Do we have any motions?
Favorable.
Excellent. We have a Senator Apodaca moves that we give the PCS for House Bill 937 a favorable report, unfavorable to the original bill. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. The motion is adopted. That's it. Thank you. Nothing further.